Good morning. Today's reading is in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and you'll find that on page 1218 in the Church Bibles. Page 1218, 1 Peter, chapter 2. And I'll be reading starting from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, if you can turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll focus on those verses that Ruth read to us a little bit earlier on in our service. But before we do that, while you're turning there, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is living and that it is active. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as it penetrates our hearts and our heads today, that will lead us to action, that we will leave here having encountered the Lord Jesus Christ through his living words. And that won't just sort of warm our hearts this morning, but as we prepare for the week ahead, that you will equip us to the works that you have called us to. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, advertising companies will spend an awful lot of time and money on coming up with catchy sort of slogans and phrases so that when you hear them, you remember the product. And at Hope Church Vauxhall, we like a little bit of audience participation. So I'm going to go for some tests for you to see how good these slogans are. We'll start off easy. Every little helps. Tesco, well done. Ollie's awake, well done. I'm loving it. McDonald's, well done. Never knowingly undersold. John Lewis, there we go. These timeless classics, you'll have heard them time and time again, but I want to take us a little bit further back, test those memory banks, complete this sentence. The future's bright, the future's... And when I say that, that divides congregations. Because the young people over here sort of thinking, I ain't got the foggiest what he's on about. It was an advertising company for a mobile phone company that no longer is called Orange anymore. But the reason I wanted to sort of experiment, as it were, is that there are things that we easily forget. There are timeless classics like a McDonald's advert or Tesco's, but there are things that we just forget. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can forget who we are, and that in turn affects what we do. And my desire this morning, as we look at these few verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we will be reminded of who you are if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and then what you have been called to do. And I think the reason that we need to be reminded is because we are very, very forgetful. There are lots of things that will cause us to affect and forget who we are. And that was no less true for the people that first had this letter written to them. Just flick forward if you've got your Bibles open there. Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These were exiles that were scattered all over the place. It would be easy for them to forget who they were. Just look a little bit further down, chapter 1, verse 6. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. When suffering for the gospel, although it can produce rejoicing, sometimes it can cause us to forget who we are. There were many things that would have distracted the first hearers from remembering who they were. And there are many things that will distract you and I, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, from who you are and what you have been called to do. And my prayer this morning is that as we leave and as you prepare, as it were, to be scattered into your schools, into your offices, into your families, that you will remember who you are and what you have been called to do. I want you to remember that you are part of something much, much bigger. You are part of a wonderful building project. You are part of the Church of Christ. You are a chosen people. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, friends, you have been handpicked by God and you have been brought into his ever-growing family. But before we dig into some of those wonderful truths, we need to get back to basics. We need to go back to foundations, as it were. And so the first thing I want us to look at is the chosen cornerstone. Let me read verse 4 to 6 again. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." We're not kept in the dark for long, are we, about what this or who this foundation is? As you come to him, the living stone. As you come to Christ, this verse, like so many areas of Scripture, reminds us that we are invited. We are invited into a relationship with Christ. It was an invitation that the hearers that first had this letter read to them, that first received it, they had accepted. And it is an invitation that everyone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ has accepted. But it's not just a one-off event, as it were. It's an invitation continually to come to Christ Jesus. But what or who are we invited to? Yesterday, I spent the day with Tom and my eldest sister, Alison, and her youngest son, Cam. They came to London for the day. We had a bit of a cruise. Sounds very grand, doesn't it? We got on a boat and went up and down the Thames. And the guide sort of pointed out all these wonderful sort of bits of architecture and the wonderful history behind them. But as wonderful, as beautiful as the architecture was, they are just stones. They are just stones. But verse 4 says, as you come to him, you don't come to a piece of marble or a bit of red London brick. You come to the living stone. The invitation to come to the risen and ascended Lord Jesus. And the writer picks up a number of times in these verses some Old Testament prophecies that were pointing towards the Lord Jesus. First there in verse 6, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone." Old Testament prophecies that were pointing towards the risen Lord Jesus, who is the foundation of his church. but a chosen and precious cornerstone that totally understands how those scattered exiles would have been feeling as they were suffering for the gospel. Because this living stone was rejected by humans. The living stone that came to his own and his own did not receive him. The living stone that in his humanity was rejected so that we could be invited. Those believers that were scattered, that were counting the cost for living for the Lord Jesus Christ, what a wonderful comfort that the hope and security that they put their trust in the risen Lord Jesus, knows exactly how they are feeling as they are being rejected. And maybe as you are counting the cost for following Jesus, as maybe you're being rejected by guys at school, whether you're being rejected by family members, whether you're the only Christian in your workplace and you feel scattered and you feel rejected, remember the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly how you are feeling. Rejected by humans, but he was chosen by God. Again, I spend quite a lot of my time on holiday. I don't spend a lot of my time on holiday. It's wrong. A lot of the times when I'm spending time on holiday, if we're anywhere near a beach, Rebecca and Joanna will spend quite a lot of time picking up stones and pebbles and lovely shells. And to the untrained eye, they just look like stones and pebbles and not that attractive. But they're precious to Rebecca and Joanna, and then they will bring them home and they will turn them into lovely sort of frames and we can put pictures in. I don't see an awful lot in stones and pebbles, but this living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. This chosen and precious stone, has become the cornerstone. That's what verse 6 reminds us. Now again, I'm no architect, but I understand cornerstones are quite important because everything else is then sort of measured off the cornerstone. And friends, as Jesus Christ, this chosen and precious cornerstone, he is our rock solid foundation where the building project of his church began. And nothing can move him from that place. And that gives us wonderful hope. That gives us wonderful security. So we have a chosen cornerstone that brings security for a chosen people. I wonder, as Ruth read this passage out to us this morning, as Peter writes this section of his letter, he is reminding these scattered people, these scattered Christians, that they are part of something much, much bigger. It's not just a thing that's common to Peter. If you look at the New Testament letters, they are written to not individuals necessarily, but to the church, to God's people. And he reminds these scattered exiles what they have been brought into. Verse 4 again, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Verse 5, you also like living stones, plural. Look at them, verse 9. You are a chosen people, not just a chosen person. You are a royal priesthood, not just a royal priest. You are a holy nation, not just a holy individual. You are God's special possession. Friends, as we seek to live out our faith in a scattered world sometimes, in a fallen world, we can so often forget that we are part of something much, much bigger. So what hope, what security does that bring us? Well, again, verse 5, you also like living stones. Just like Christ, as we're reminded as the living stone of his resurrection from the grave, we too are given that same assurance. We are living stones. The resurrection that is true of the Lord Jesus Christ is true for us as well as living stones. We are built on the solid rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has been adding living stones to his church day after day after day. The 11 people, as I was looking at sort of the reports for quarter one at LCM, are living stones that have been added to God's church. And this is a spiritual house that is described as a royal priesthood. That's there in verse 5, a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood. Now again, back in the Old Testament, the only people that would have had access to God were the priests. But now, as we have come to Christ, if you put your trust in Christ, we have access to God 24/7. Those same priests in the Old Testament were the ones that offered sacrifices on behalf of God's people, the Israelites. But verse 5 says, as this holy priesthood, now this living, these living stones, God's people, we offer spiritual sacrifices. We don't offer animal sacrifices anymore, but we offer our lives as living sacrifices that are acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that all areas of your life, both big and small, can be lived and should be lived as a sacrifice for Christ. We have the privilege of living these lives of sacrifice in service of God, not to please him. We don't have these spiritual sacrifices as a way of getting into God's good books. No, our spiritual sacrifices are only acceptable through the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it might seem that a life of sacrifice doesn't seem something that you'd be up for. Because we live, do we not, in a world where we are number one. We make the rules. We say what we're going to do. We like it as easy street. But let's think about it slightly differently, this life of sacrifice. How amazing is it that as scattered exiles that Peter is writing to here, and you as a church here at Elmstead, that although God doesn't need us, he invites us into service of him. He invites us to use our lives as a living sacrifice. I think that changes the way that we think about church services on a Sunday, ministries that you run throughout the week. It views how you change as you go into the office or into school or into the home environment, or you are the only Christian in the house. You're sort of thinking, I have the opportunity to live this area of my life as a sacrifice for God. He doesn't need me, but he delights to use us. We are holy priests. We are living stones. We have the privilege of serving our Saviour. And then again, he picks up on this together language, as it were, in verse 9 again. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Again, these were descriptions that were given to the Israelites in Exodus 19. This was the way that the nation was described after they've been brought out of slavery to the Egyptians and on their way to the promised land. But although they were given to one nation historically, God's plan, in one sense, was for this good news never to remain in one nation. It was never meant to stay in the boundaries of just one people group. Baked into creation, as it were, was this desire that the good news of God would scatter. So think just back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. God says to Adam and Eve, not fill the garden, but fill the earth and subdue it. There was always the plan for God's glory to go global, as it were. God's plan for the Israelites, his chosen people in the Old Testament, was to be a light to the surrounding nations. The book of Acts starts as the early church is formed and the Lord Jesus Christ saying to his apostles, saying to the disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 7, we are given this picture of a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation praising the Lord. Friends, I want to remind you, I want to encourage you to remember who you are. You are a chosen people. You are living stones. Sometimes I think, yeah, we forget who we are. We get so focused or shaped by who other people say that we are or who we think that we are. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a living stone. You have been brought from death to life. You are part of something much, much bigger. Even as you think, I feel just so lonely and insignificant, even as you thought this counting the cost for following Jesus is just hard work, I just feel that I'm doing it on my own each and every day, you are part of something much, much bigger. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You have been joined with other living stones that you will never see this side of eternity. But that does not mean that you are part, or you are not part of something much, much bigger. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, you are my chosen and special possession. Out of all the billions of people on earth, he has handpicked you. And not because there's anything special about you. Let me be brutally honest. You know, we're a lovely bunch of people I'm looking at this morning, but there's nothing special about you. But God has chosen you. You are a chosen people. And then you are invited into a life of service. You are called to be holy. You are called to be distinct from those around you. To be a light into the darkness. Friends, I want to encourage you. I want to start by encouraging you to remember who you really are. To remind who you are in Christ Jesus, because sometimes we can behave more like the mobile phone advert. We can be so quick to forget who we truly are. You are a chosen people, but you also have been given a wonderful responsibility. That responsibility is not to keep this good news to yourself. You are a chosen people, chosen to praise him. Let me look there at verse 9 again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you can keep it to yourself. No? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Friends, this good news is too great to keep to ourselves. In fact, it's stronger than that. We can't keep it to ourselves. The reason we have been chosen is that we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. Okay, think about this. If you've ever given a gift to someone, particularly to a young child, maybe one of your own children, maybe a niece, maybe a nephew. You give this little present wrapped up, and then they tear all the paper off, and they just want to share what they've got with everyone. They say, look what I've got, and if they go at a birthday party over the weekend, they can't wait to get to school to tell their mates, this is what my mum bought me, or this is what my friend bought me. Again, the gospel is no different, friends. The gospel's no different. Just think about the shepherds when they first saw the baby Jesus lying in a manger. And as they left, as they were returning through Bethlehem, they basically, if you bumped into a shepherd that night, you were going to get told something about this baby. They couldn't keep it to themselves. It's what Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, did as he first, in one sense, saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood who Jesus was. And what did he do? The first thing he did, went and told his brother Peter, the very same Peter who wrote this letter. It's something they couldn't keep to themselves. Friends, we are a chosen people, but we are chosen to declare the praises of a God who loves to call people from the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often, sadly, we keep it as the best kept secret the world has ever had. Verse 10, he goes on, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, we are a chosen people, but we are chosen to praise. We are chosen to declare. We are chosen to share the good news of the gospel with people so desperate to hear it that are currently living in darkness. And if you know anything about darkness, if you're in darkness, you can't see. But we have been given the wonderful privilege to be sharing and shining the light of the gospel into dark places. Brothers and sisters, my desire this morning was to excite us and remind us of who we are if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus. I want us, in one sense, leaving here, bursting at the seams, sort of thinking, I can't keep this news to myself. But then, who are we to share this with? If we are a chosen people, who are we to share this with? Let me read verse 7 and verse 8. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Peter, like so many other parts of the Bible, puts people into two camps, as it were. Those that have put their trust in Jesus and those that haven't. Not only do we need to be reminded that once we were not a people, once we had not received mercy from God, but currently there are still people without those wonderful assurances that can't call themselves chosen and precious and holy. And they are exactly the people that we need to be declaring the praises of a God who brings people from darkness into his glorious light. Again, it's important to remember then in the context of 1 Peter, the people that first received this letter, the people that had been rejected because they were following the Lord Jesus Christ, they were the ones that they had to share the gospel to. The ones that were making life difficult for them are exactly the people that needed to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. These early Christians were scattered exiles because they were fleeing persecution for people that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says they're exactly the people that we have to declare the praises of him who calls us out of darkness into his glorious light. And friends, that's no less true for you and me here today. Just think of the person in your office, that mate in the classroom, the family member that just makes your life miserable for following the Lord Jesus. And one people would say that's exactly the people that we need to be sharing the gospel with. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But just like the Lord Jesus, that he was rejected, we may get rejected for it, but that doesn't mean that we haven't got the call to share that good news. It's a call as the corporate body, as it were. As we remember in these verses that we are part of something much, much bigger. It's a call to remember that as we gather together as God's people, as we gather together and listen to God's words, and I'm going to speak on behalf of the elders here at Elmstead here, and to the congregation, if your elders stop preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here, tell them, rebuke them. Like, you have a responsibility. The elders have a responsibility to keep declaring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what keeps our ministries gospel focused. The ministries that are taking place throughout the week. It means that in Buzz Club, what they were doing in Buzz Club this morning is pointing these young people to Jesus, because that's the biggest thing that they need to hear. When I rocked up in Vauxhall 11 years ago to lead the team of missionaries there, we ran a project called Goals to Glory. And my description of that football project was there was an awful lot of goals, but not an awful lot of glory. And I thought, these kids are coming along to play football. They're a captive audience, as it were. Why don't we just share something of the good news of Jesus with them? And it's hard sometimes. It's hard to keep the gospel focused, because there again, there'll be things that will distract us. But our responsibility, our privilege as God's chosen people, is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. So friends, as we draw to a close, just some helpful things. Reminders of what it looks like when we come to share the gospel. Verse 8, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Friends, as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderfully people will come to put their trust in Jesus. And do you know why that's true? Do I know why that's true? Because you're here this morning. Someone shared the gospel with you and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we keep sharing it. But there will be others that will reject the good news of the Lord Jesus. But can we work really hard to make sure that we are not the stumbling block to people coming to the Lord Jesus? You see verse 8, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. That stone is the Lord Jesus. People will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's work hard that we are not the stumbling block to people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. Peter goes on in the rest of chapter 2 to talk about what it looks like to live godly lives in a fallen world. I think that's a challenge for us, is it not? Are we, in the way that we live, in trying to ensure that our lives are not a stumbling block to people coming to the Lord Jesus? Are we working hard that people will not be able to say, the reason I didn't put my trust in the Lord Jesus is because that bunch of Elmster are a bunch of hypocrites? Or I've seen the way that this person in the office says they're a Christian, and then what they're behaving, yeah, out of office, out of sort of gazing eyes, is not true. Can we make sure that we in our lives are not stumbling blocks? Can we make sure that the way that we communicate the gospel does not cause a stumbling block? There's nothing wrong with using, in one sense, words that you might find in the Bible, but if you don't explain what they are, we might as well speak in a foreign language. Can we make sure that the way that we communicate the gospel is not a stumbling block? People will stumble and they will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But sharing the gospel, friends, is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But I also want to set you up for rejection, because that will come. I used to have, I've been called an awful lot of things over my time in Vauxhall, but one of the titles I was given was out of order Kev, because I was making a distinction with one particular lady that wasn't part of the church, and she didn't like to be told that. But when you reject when people reject you for the gospel, I want you to remember two important things that will keep you going in sharing the gospel. Verse 1, Christ faced rejection, so you should expect it as well. But then verse 6, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You can be rejected by friends, family. You can be rejected by colleagues, neighbours. But friends, remember this, that you will never be rejected by the Lord Jesus if you've put your trust in him. Another thing to remember as we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus is, I hear this so often when I speak to people in various settings, my religion or my spirituality is individual to me. I'm a Christian, as it were, but I don't do the church stuff. I'm a Christian, but I worship in the way that I choose to worship. But friends, these verses in 1 Peter chapter 2 remind us that's not the picture of God's people. It's not individualistic. It is corporate. So I think as we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus, yes, it is, in one sense, there's an individual person that comes to the good news and comes out of darkness into his glorious light, but then that does mean involvement in the local church. And I think as we share the gospel, I think we need to be reminded it's not just an individual message, but it's a corporate message as well. And finally, friends, tomorrow, as you go into the office, into school, into the home, maybe even this afternoon, where you're the only Christian, can you prayerfully, bravely take the opportunities to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus? You might be the only one that is seeking to do that in the context that you are in. But remember this, friends, you are not alone. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus, one important thing to remember is that the Holy Spirit is living in you. And remember that you are not alone. If your plan is to share the gospel with someone tomorrow, why not message someone else within the church family and say, can you pray for me as I have a gospel conversation with a colleague or a classmate, a teacher, family member? You are not alone in this, friends. You and I are part of something much, much bigger. You and I are part of the largest building project that the world has ever seen. And as you share the gospel with someone this week, then maybe, just maybe, they might become a living stone as they get called out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe, just maybe, they could be here next week praising the Lord Jesus Christ for their work of salvation that he has won in them this week. And how will they know if they never hear? And our responsibility as a chosen people is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much for the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, that invites us to come to him. Thank you that for many of us at Elmstead here this morning, we have been called. We have been called out of darkness into your glorious light. That we can declare that we are chosen people, that we are part of your holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will inspire us and equip us and enable us to not just keep that to ourselves, but to declare that to people this week. Heavenly Father, I pray for opportunities, for boldness for each and every one of us to do that this week. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as weak individuals, but part of your church, as we seek to share the gospel, that for people's good and ultimately for your glory, that people may come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.